Hello, everybody. My name is Jeff Thompson, and this is the ADR Hub podcast series. Today's guest with us is Lisa Renee Pomerantz. Lisa, how are you?
I'm great today. How are you?
I'm doing good. Lisa is an attorney and a mediator. And before I go into your bio, what I always like to do is have the person explain a bit about themselves. So, Lisa, tell us a bit about you.
Okay. I started my law career as a litigator and thought it was a tremendous waste of time and human emotional energy. And so then I moved to an in-house counsel position. And when my job went to Texas without me, I opened my own law firm. And I provide legal and dispute resolution services, including mediation, arbitration, early neutral evaluation, principally in business and employment matters.
Okay. And how did you get exactly into mediation? What brought you to it?
I think what brought me to it was that I, at NEC where I worked for 15 years, I was responsible for managing litigation and dispute resolution all over the country. And I came to find mediation a much more effective and flexible way to resolve business disputes.
So one of the things, the main thing that I wanted to talk to you about today is the work that you did with the American Bar Association, the ABA, their Dispute Resolution Task Force. And I guess, correct me if I'm wrong, one of the main results of the task force was the issuing of the four elements in being an effective mediator. And those 4 points, which I was joking around with you earlier before we went on, that point number 4 includes a handful of things. So it's really 7 points. But the 4 points anyway, which you can see at ADR Hub, we wrote up a review of it, is the first one is being prepared. The second one is customizing the process for the parties. Third is analytic techniques. The fourth is patience, persistence, in having an active role in the process. And there's a lot of stuff I want to go into that, but is there maybe just anything that you want to start off and reflect on in regards to that?
Well, first of all, I did want to clarify that I did not actually serve on this task force. However, it confirmed my inclinations regarding what made a good mediator, because I really started out as a consumer of mediation services and had reached my own conclusions about what was necessary to be an effective mediator in the business context. And I found that people were insisting on things that I really didn't think were important, and they were discounting factors that I did think were important. So that's why the ABA Task Force report got my attention.
So why don't, instead of going into some of those points, I want to try and get you to elaborate on what are some of those things that you felt like that weren't important that people were perhaps bringing up, and what are some of the things that you felt were?
Well, I think that there is an insistence on the part of many mediators, especially non-attorney mediators, that the most important thing that a mediator can do is facilitate communication between the parties. And although there is a certain amount of that that is valuable, I do find in the business context that often people can and do communicate, but really the problem is that they don't know how to solve their problem. And they may either have completely different views of the strengths and weaknesses of their case. One of the things I think is that typically they are represented by litigators rather than transactional lawyers in their disputes. And the litigators, unlike transactional lawyers, may not have as good a sense of what some of the possible ways there might be to restructure a relationship or a transaction. And so I think bringing to the mediation process some new ideas for resolving a problem. And, you know, a fresh set of eyes and the perspective of especially a transactional lawyer mm-hmm. who's focused on reaching agreement can often really be helpful.
Well, the way I look at these four points, I sort of see how it seems like they're basically interconnected and one relies sort of on the other, where you look at the first being prepared. Well, if you are prepared, then you can go to it helps you with point two of customizing the process. And by having points one and two, it really helps you be analytical. And then encompassing all those during the process itself is, you know, being patient. And then the persistence when people think they hit a roadblock, helping them maybe see it from a different perspective. And that in itself is the other sub point of point four, of taking that active role. Something I want to press you with is, first, if you want to say anything on that, but at the same time, this task force, they released these four elements a couple years ago. And do you think the field has embraced it, or what's your take on that?
What I see is that the people who are most vocal about what makes a good mediator are the mediators themselves, who have a vested interest in what the answer to that question is. You don't really hear the users of mediation talking about what they've actually found to be effective. So I often find that the conventional wisdom that is repeated by mediators is, in fact, very different from what I, as a consumer of mediation services for so long, thought was important. So I think we're really not hearing from the consumers.
Why do you think that's the case?
Well, I think that, generally speaking, many people only encounter litigation maybe once or twice in their, you know, business lives. Mm-hmm. So they don't have any reason to become experts in the consumption of mediation services or in publicizing their conclusions regarding what did and did not work in the mediation context. Mm-hmm. And I also think that lawyers, especially litigators, they often have mixed feelings about mediation, because mediation tends to, if you will, cut off the flow of billable hours. So mm-hmm. I don't think that they're as invested in understanding what makes an effective mediation, because they have some financial interest in it not necessarily succeeding.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing I know, as we are running out of time, I want to mention before we forget, is if anybody does want to contact you or find out more information, your website's www.lisapalm.com, and your email is lisa@lisapalm.com. And then you also have this really wonderful newsletter that you do. And I suggest people take a look at Lisa's website, where you can also sign off for that newsletter. And I think it'll be beneficial. Before we do run out of time, I want to see if there's anything you want to add, but then also, I want you to maybe, if you can just in the last minute, tell us, with those four elements that were shared with the ABA, do you think that people should be embracing them more or engaging it? And if yes or no, how can you get the word out the most effective way for mediators to become, well, you know, more effective or better?
I really think that more customer feedback would be important. Mm-hmm. And trying to identify what customers find to be useful and what has been useful in particular situations. Of course, that's a challenge because mediations are generally confidential. But I want to just add one thing before we wrap up.
Sure.
That the other thing that I think a mediator can do that hasn't been given enough attention is to say things that everybody else is afraid to say, or feels it's not in their own interest to say, but needs to be said. And again, that's a much more active role for the mediator than the conventional wisdom, but I think it can be extremely helpful.
Lisa, thank you so much for sharing that with us, and thank you for taking the time to speak with us with the ADR Hub podcast series. I appreciate it, and everyone, you can listen to this episode whenever you like. You can download it as well as all the other ADR Hub podcast episodes. Thank you very much, Lisa.
My pleasure. Thank you.